Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast. This is a banger, an absolute banger. This person asked all the right questions, has all the wrong has all the right problems, if you will. This is an absolute gold mine of information. I wouldn't put it out if it wasn't. As you guys know, this is really, 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 really helpful. So I hope you guys enjoy this. I know you will. If you're listening to this on Spotify, you now can add comments if you guys want to comment on things. We have some fun and exciting things coming up. We have a tour coming up if you guys are interested in listening and hanging out with me live, all that fun stuff. But anyway, I know you guys are going to enjoy this podcast. It's lovely, wonderful conversation with a person who just really is desperate for help. So enjoy this podcast, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you in the next episode.
Okay. All right. So I have a 6-year-old golden doodle. He's about 80 pounds. He's basically just too much dog for me. Mm-hmm. He's more poodle than retriever. The positives is that he's fairly easy as long as I keep his world really small, mm-hmm. meaning home and daycare, and that's it, and avoiding triggers. He's fine. He's great being groomed. He's fine at daycare. He's fine at the vet. He has basic commands. I've gone through some training with him. He's fairly compliant unless he decides he doesn't want to do something. He's kind of stubborn and he's unpredictable. And
when you say he's unpredictable, yeah. You mean like you don't know if he'll listen or he will that day?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's an example. So, If we're going to be leaving, you know, I open the door that goes from the laundry room to the garage and I say sit, and he stays until I give him the command to go to the car. Now, if the garage door happens to be open and he sees something, I can't depend on him to stay and sit. Mm. He will just take off.
Got it.
And bolt. Yeah. So, let's see. He was actually purchased for my granddaughter as an emotional support dog. My daughter and her husband were separated at that time. And Louis is his name. He was going back and forth between mom and dad with my granddaughter. And then my daughter moved to an apartment without a yard. So then when Maddie was with her mom, Louie came to my house because now there was nowhere for him to be, you know, and their lives are busy, you know, it was mm-hmm. probably not a good idea. Then dad got tired of having a dog. And so he refused to take him anymore. So then my husband and I ended up with Louie, and my husband became very attached to him. He wasn't good at managing him and handling mm-hmm. him. But they had a really lovely little life together. It was fine. And then my husband died 3 years ago. And I've been struggling. Thank you. So we've gone through a 6-week training program, training me basically on how I've never had a dog. So this is all really new to me. And that actually went fairly well. And I learned how to use the prong collar. And I was able to walk Louie for the most part with basic success, but his prey drive is so intense and he just kept getting bigger and bigger, and he's an 80-pound dog and I'm 68 years old, and so you can imagine what that might look like when he sees a squirrel or something else he decides that interests him.
Sure. Yeah.
Now there's more. Here come all the negatives. I've given you a few, but the last part is biting. This is a real scary issue. It's happened in the last 3 years, it's happened 4 times. The last time was just a few days ago at daycare. What happened is that this is a really small daycare situation. They don't have a lot of protocols in place for these kinds of things. So it was just like a perfect storm. When I went in to get Louie, there were several people there. One woman had a little dog in her hands, and the woman that works there, she saw me, so she went to get Louie, and I tried to say, "No, I'll wait," because I know that when he's in a confined space and he's like, "Whoa, overwhelmed," I know there's that possibility he's going to nip. And so when she went to get Louie, I told everybody, I said, "You know, I'm really sorry, but I have a very reactive dog, and we need to give him a lot of space when he comes out here." And I thought, you know, she didn't have control over him. None of them do. When they bring him out to me, you know, he's dragging them, except the owner. She's a good handler. So sure enough, they bring him out, and he sees this man, and he lunges, and I didn't realize he actually had bit him. And I'm Nolan, and I'm pulling him back with all my strength. And then, you know, I get control of him, and then he's just sitting next to me, you know. And I asked the guy, I said, "Did he bite you?" And he said, "Yeah." And I looked at his hand, and there was this teeny tiny prick. You know, so it's just, I could see blood, a teeny tiny drop of blood. And he was really nice, cool about it. So that's where we are. So now, these are my goals. Is it okay to tell you that now, or do you want
Absolutely.
to? Oh, okay. So, my goals, I think, are I hopefully they're attainable. I want to be able to walk him again. I just think I enjoy that, and I think as a dog owner, I should be able to do that for him. I do have a treadmill. I do use that as well. The bark, he's very out in the backyard, you know, he's on high alert, you know, always, you know, listening and smelling. And so as soon as there's something, he's bark, 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 bark. I want to be able to say, "Louis, come," and I want him to come. It's, you know, I get it, dogs alert bark, right? He does that at the door. He does that in the car. Those are the three things that drive me crazy. And then I want to be able to walk him and not bite people. But yeah.
Yeah, I think those are pretty realistic. So, I'm sure the prong collar has been helpful.
Yes, but only to a certain extent. Again, I don't have the strength to correct him, and he just take he doesn't when he gets in that, you know, I don't know, you'll be able to, you know, dogs, I don't really understand what his brain does, but when he gets in that prey drive mode, or I can't, there's not, the prong collar is not enough.
So when he gets locked
And I,
in.
yeah, that, there you go. Oh, and I do, I have purchased an e-collar. It's the Dogtra 1900S.
So that would be, I mean, the e-collar is definitely going to be your buddy because
Okay.
if you don't physically. I just did this with a client recently, actually. If you physically don't have the ability to correct the dog, and your dog is making these mistakes, then the e-collar is definitely a good segue into being able to fill in the gaps. And so, where to start? It would you have to start with auditing. So, like, I'm trying to process this in my head that if you were in front of me, this is what I would do. You have to audit your ability to communicate, your ability to hold court and enforce certain things. Because right now, here's the thing: is there's two big problems. The first problem is he may not know the skill sets to be successful. So recall is one of your big things. A leave it would be one of your other things. But then there's also this behavior. And behavior, yes, we could argue, and I've even mentioned it several times to clients in the context of the behavior of the dog, the biting. Yes, we could use obedience to counter, skill sets to counter, But this is a behavior that is likely happening because of context, which means he, and correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. he doesn't seem like an aggressive dog by nature. He's in daycare. He's mm-hmm. he's golden doodles aren't historically aggressive dogs by nature. Mm-hmm. But when you put him into situations maybe around you or around other places, you know, when you told the daycare people, like, hey, you know, he could bite people or he could get aggressive or whatever, they were like, oh, no, like, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like they didn't. And I hear this a lot where your so what this tells you is your relationship with the dog makes this dog behave in a way that we don't like. Right. Yeah. So and this happens all the time. You're like, hey, he could get aggressive during these situations. And they're like, this dog is in our daycare. And like, no, like that's. How? Like, you sure we're talking about the same dog here, you know?
Right.
So then once you enter the mix, boom. And so
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that tells you, oftentimes, that you are the problem in the trigger, obviously unintentionally. And a lot of times, judging by what you've told me, because a lot of my job is just processing information and then saying, hey... I have, you know, 10 years of accumulated information, and I can tell you that these are the things that, in your circumstance, a lot of people have these problems where they get a dog they didn't mean to, and they're doing everything they can, and I think, personally, you're doing great. I think you're doing great, personally. A, you signed up for training with somebody, with me, which is great. You got a prong collar, you got a knee collar, like you're on the right track. I talk to people that are absolutely clueless, like frustratingly clueless, and you're not. You just need to know, you just need to know the application, which is great.
Okay.
So there's a spectrum. So I can just tell you, Sherry, that there's a spectrum of people that I talk to, and you are on the good side of the spectrum of being in the right direction. Which is good. I mean, a lot of people I talk to don't have any clue. I mean, you're already in the right direction of what needs to be done. So,
okay, excellent.
So you just got to fill in the blanks, and so right now, the relationship between you and the dog is likely, you know, a frustrating one. He's probably protective. He's probably taking advantage, and he knows that, right? And so, regardless. He comes into a room, sees you, sees the person. I need to protect mom at all cost. Get out of here, guy. And again, golden doodle aren't tiny dogs.
Yeah.
And so he could have did some serious damage to that gentleman, and he did not. So that means he didn't bite the guy because he didn't like him. He didn't bite the guy because he's aggressive. He didn't bite the guy because he was looking at him wrong. He was saying, hey, get out of here. You need to leave the premise.
Okay.
My person's in the room and they can't. It's like the Secret Service. You need to move. I'm not going to kill you, but I'm going to push you out of the way.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And
that's good to hear, you know.
Yeah. It's here. And from a behavioral standpoint, it's the best type of, it's the best type of situation because it's a very, in my opinion, easy thing to understand how to do it better and how to fix it.
Good.
And what I mean by that is sometimes I talk to dog owners and I work with dogs that their innate genetics are to do, they just don't like people.
Oh, right. Okay.
You're not air quotes fixing that. That's not going to go away.
Yeah. Right.
So your dogs, if you weren't in that room, the likelihood of your dog biting that man is close to zero, I would say.
Right.
So that tells us that sheds a lot of light that when you're around, the dog feels some type of way. A lot of times it's vulnerability and it's security. So the dog loves you and says, you can't handle this situation, I must protect you. So how does that happen? What happens is over and over again, a lot of times, I mean, generally, we unintentionally tell the dog that we don't know what we're doing.
Okay.
And some ways that could be, for an example, what's the dog's name?
Louie.
Louie, that's right. You said that. Yeah. So let's say, yeah. Let's say this. So here's examples of that. Louie, come. He says no. Mm-hmm. Louie, come. He says no. And again, the context would be he knows recall, because there is a lot of that too, where, hey, Tom, yeah, my dog's not coming back. And, you know, I call his name and I'm like, okay, how long have you traditionally worked on recall? They have to know the game. They have to know when you say the dog's name and tell them to come, they have to come to you. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to set it up. You got to get a long line. You got to go inside. You got to get payment. There's a whole thing. Typically that doesn't happen. But then so my point is every single day we tell Louie to do something and there's no accountability if they don't listen. And the concepts continue, like he basically pushes you over and over again.
He does. My gosh, that's so true.
Right. Well, yes. So here's the interesting thing is like a mechanic or a doctor or anybody who works with situations all the time, if you come in with these symptoms, I can likely tell you what's happening. So, and this is how I've been able to really dial it in. I'm glad that it's making sense to you, but this is typically what happens is the dog pushes you over every single day. So for the last, if he's six and you've had him, for the last four or five, whatever, I mean, he's basically, she doesn't know what she's doing. So therefore I'm protective, I'm vulnerable. It's like walking into a bar with your younger sister or younger brother. It's like you just have this innate responsibility. Nobody told you, but it's like, this is my responsibility, right? So anyway, so there's that. So two things that split from this is the first thing is we have to have the skill sets. And I mean, you can correct your dog absolutely under any circumstance ever without context if they try to bite somebody. There is no, he doesn't know leave it. He doesn't know recall. He doesn't know that guy's a good guy. No. Mm-hmm. Under any circumstances outside of you being attacked or burglarized, that's not appropriate. So you can always correct that fairly, always. And so the problem is here's where it comes down. So let's just say, take that incident. He comes in the room with daycare with the daycare attendant. She's going to give you Louie. He turns and bites the guy. The problem is two things. You have developed the relationship with him that when you tell him no, the accountability, the correction or the enforcement or the punishment, if you will, any of those are not, it doesn't exist.
Right.
So there's that. The other thing is, so his whole relationship with you is a push, right? So he's able to.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Right. So he's able to get away with stuff and he knows that. So when he wants to do something good or bad, rather it's play keep away in the backyard when you say come, or it's, hey, I'm going to bite this guy and you say no, your baseline relationship has been that.
Exactly. And the only way I follow through, because I don't tell him to do, I do follow through. If I ask him to come, it's time to go on the treadmill. He doesn't come, but I just lure him with treats to make him do what I want him to do.
Right. And
of course, that's not going to work when he's fixated on something or barking and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, so that's what I mean, is like you got a good head on your shoulders. Yeah. Like you understand this, which is because sometimes I have to spend the whole session explaining why that is not sustainable. So, and this happens all the time. Well, my dog only listens to me if it's beneficial for them, which is like paying your kids to do their homework.
Uh-huh, yeah.
No, that's not how this works, right? So, okay. Yeah. So here's an actionable game plan.
Okay.
My suggestion is condition the remote collar.
Okay.
And what you can do by that is I don't know if you've watched my e-collar videos, and I can send you an email after this and give you a couple free YouTube videos you should start off with. Obviously, you know what it is because you have one and you have a good one. So start off with those videos, and I can send you a follow-up email like where to start. I can send you my course. I'll give you a discount code for that too, if you're interested.
Okay. Yeah, I am.
And you want to start conditioning the remote collar. In conjunction with that, the remote collar conditioning is very, 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 very simple.
Oh, good.
It's very simple. The only reason why it can seem a little daunting is because there's a lot of ways to do it, and you're starting off with using technology to train a dog. But you're applying, I'll just give you a quick little rundown. You're applying low-level stimulation to the dog in conjunction with the pre-known behaviors. So it's like conditioning, like clicker training or any type of marker training. It's a classical conditioned response to when you say place, for an example, or sit, for an example, you're using the remote collar stimulation in conjunction with your voice at a non-corrective, non-punitive measure. So it does not stress the dog out. It doesn't hurt the dog. It doesn't freak the dog out. It's non-punitive. They feel it, and they don't know where it's coming from. And your job is to do the timing right. So you say, Louis, sit. Beep, 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 beep. He puts his butt on the ground. It shuts off. For the first couple of days, he's just going to be like, I don't know what this is. And again, he's not going to be freaking out. He's just going to feel it, and he's not going to know where it's coming. It's like a fly landing on his back. He's not going to, it's not going to matter to him. He can feel it. He's like, okay. So what you're going to be doing, this is called negative reinforcement, okay? It's very simple. It seems overwhelming. It's not. You're taking something away, which is negative, like think math, okay? And you're reinforcing a behavior. So reinforcement, like think about positive reinforcement. When a dog sits and we say, good sit, and we pay him with food, that's we're adding food and value and motivation, and we're reinforcing. That's what I want you to do. Do it again in the future. The only difference is now we're taking something away. So it would be like somebody tapping you on your shoulder and you turn around. Negative. Okay. You're doing something to turn the tapping off. That's it. Super easy. Okay. The only way it gets kind of confusing here, Sherry, is when you know people have different methods of this. Like you ask 10 different dog trainers who utilize the remote collar, and you'll probably get 10 different roadmaps. And furthermore, I am in no position to say whether anybody else is wrong, right, or indifferent. I just tend to use it in a way that is fun and easy to follow, and using conditioning responses that dogs naturally have, and it just seems to be more sustainable, more fun, and more beneficial long term. So that's all you're doing. So for an example, you put the remote collar on. There's 127 levels. People don't feel it on their face till about a 10. We don't feel it on our wrist till about a 15, and we condition a dog on about a 3 or 4. So all we're going to be doing is, for an example, we have the leash, we have maybe some treats in our pocket or in our treat pouch, and we say, Louis, sit, and there's a function on the remote collar called the continuous function. So we're holding the continuous button down when we say sit.
Is that the pager? Is that the pager?
No, don't use the pager.
Don't use the pager. Okay.
We'll get to the pager in a moment.
Great. Okay.
I'm glad you asked that question because we've started to put out. It's funny. Well, I have to laugh about it. It's not that funny, but we started to put out content in every single video that we talk about the remote collar in the beginning. I say don't use the pager because so many people think that the pager, which is the vibration, is less punitive and less aversive than the low level stimulation, which couldn't be further from the truth. It's literally like going to a Bach concert and a Metallica concert. I'm like, those are two different things, like very binary different things. Okay. So the pager is something that you could utilize when he tries to attack the gentleman waiting for his dog in the waiting room. That's something that, so the pager, this, all of this goes over in my course.
Okay, great.
The pager is going to be the what I call intervention. The pager is you're throwing a vibration at the dog to discourage them from what they're doing and hopefully disrupt what they're doing and stop it ultimately.
Okay.
it usually freaks them out, and that's the goal. Every time they go to look at a guy to try to lunge or... So the pager in your case, like today, you can even... Well, you could. I wouldn't recommend it because I think that you would... You're going to find... The e-collar is going to be your best buddy. And I'll talk to you in a moment about like where you're from so I can try to link you up with a trainer. And if not, we can do it remotely. But so all you're doing here is you're doing low level. So you have him on a leash. You're inside. And you say, Louis, sit. And you're going to hold the continuous, which is going to be on the side of your remote collar.
Okay.
He puts his butt on the ground. You pay him. Good sit. And you give him a break. All you're doing is you're pairing a level between 3 and 5 on the dog. I'd say a 4 would be a good spot. The remote collar is snug against the dog's neck so he can feel what you're doing. And all you're doing is you're saying, sit. So anything that, so typically when we introduce the remote collar, it's going to be place. So go to your place, right? Like go to your target, go to your bed. Yeah. Recall, come back to me, or sit. Those are the three, because they're really easy. It's, they put their butt in the ground, it shuts off. They come to you, it shuts off. They go to the place, it shuts off. Super easy.
Okay.
Make sure you have the remote collar on. Make sure you have a leash on the dog. And and really make sure that you, you know, are doing this in an environment that isn't too overwhelming for the dog. Because it's really, 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 really important to not, a lot of people will start this off in a high distracted environment. So you're trying to, it's like trying to teach a kid a math equation during recess.
Yes, got it. And I'm actually a retired teacher, so.
Yeah, not going to happen. Not the best place to learn, right?
No.
Okay. So we can talk about that in a little bit, but your remote collar introduction, it looks like that. And again, I'm going to send you content to do homework on, but that's what it looks like. It's actually pretty easy. I think it's overwhelming because people just, there's a lot of conflicting things out there, but if you follow that, that's the way to do it. Now, let's just say, so the general purpose of the remote collar conditioning or using modern technology to condition a dog is the e-collar stimulation is you. So they know because you've conditioned it for a week, the e-collar turns on, you ask them to say something. So it's classical conditioning. It's the doorbell rings, somebody's here, right? Same thing. E-collar turns on, you're asking the dog to do something. Now, two things. Once they know that that's you, you have up to, depending on the collar, half a mile to a mile to communicate with your dog, which is great. So that provides... You know, off-leash freedom. If you want to, it provides you control. It provides you communication. It provides you all the things, which is great. So then, what it also provides you is once the dog is fairly conditioned on the remote collar and you've done all the things. Then you have that spectrum, right? So we condition on a 4 or a 5. You know, that's what we call conditioning levels, right? So then. Let's say somebody's bringing your dog up from daycare and he looks at a guy strange. You can turn it up to a 50 and correct him. And it is very uncomfortable for him. There is no doubt. I mean, that's the goal of it. I mean, corrections are not supposed to be pleasant. That's motivation for the dog. So if he looks like he's going to bite somebody and we just A, ignore it, or B, throw treats on the ground, we're doing the opposite. We're paying the dog for doing that.
Right.
You don't want to do that. Okay. He looks at a guy like, oh, I'm going to bite you. Because he's got to understand this. You know, I've explained this to some people. Generally speaking, Sherry.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Most people understand this. They get it. They believe in it. It's part of the norm, really. Like people are like, okay, yes. Here's the thing that I dive a little bit deeper in is if you don't clearly / and or effectively effectively would mean your dog looks at somebody to bite them. You say no because you're mad and they ignore you. So that's effective. Like, is your correction effective or not?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't effectively correct the dog, your dog's going to do it. And the alternative of, so let's say this, like, oh, and again, just to play devil's advocate, I don't want to cause uncomfortability to my dog. And it's like, well, if your dog bites the wrong person, your dog is dead and you're sued.
Exactly.
So to me, to me, it really comes down to principles of reality, right? It's like, okay, you have to understand that if you don't make that decision that your dog's going to make super uncomfortable to a point where they don't want to do it again, it could be your dog's life, right? So I take that stuff very seriously. So I will absolutely cause as much stress necessary to stop what they're doing because I do not want them to do it again. It's like conditioning for humans 101. You go down a road and get harassed and kicked at and spit at and thrown things at, right? You're probably not going to go down that road again. You had a bad experience. It's that. It's literally that simple, okay? Now, the most important thing is to understand that you need to also make sure that the dog, it's enforcing you. Whatever correction you're using is enforcing your voice. So I just had a client in, and his dog was a mess, and it's this whole thing, and it was a lot of work. And I said, ask your dog to sit. And he said, sit, 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 right? And he had behavioral issues, bite histories, like serious stuff. And I said, okay. And he's like, so he starts like raising his hand, getting cookies out, like, and the dog almost sat. And he's like, well, normally at home he sits for the food and the treats. And I said, okay, listen, you have to understand that your dog isn't sitting because you said sit. Like the cue, right? The cue for something, right? Like when you cue somebody on something, the cue, which is the verbal sit out of your mouth, doesn't actually mean what we humans know as sit, right? He doesn't know that. The cue is actually you raising your hand, the dog thinking they're getting paid, they put their butt on the ground for 0.5 seconds and they get back up. There's zero, that doesn't matter at all. Like that sit is worthless. You might as well not do it. It's completely worthless. That's like a party trick. There's literally no point in doing it, right? So when you say things like sit, so to your point of the enforcement, right? So you don't want to just tell the, well, you don't want to just tell the dog that when they try to make a bad decision and bite somebody, ultimately potentially ending their life, that it's bad. You want to make sure that you are, so you would say, Louie, leave it. And then he goes to lunge anyway. Then he gets a level 50 correction, which is 50 times higher than your conditioning levels. So it's the difference of conditioning versus corrective levels, which is the difference between life and death for most dogs. That's the reality. Okay. So my point is the dog needs to know that correction, that accountability measure was enforced by you. So my point is when you, same thing with the guy who couldn't teach his dog how to sit on command. If you need the treats and the hand movement to get your dog to sit, it's worthless and they don't know sit. Same goes for if you need punishment to get your dog to listen, it's worthless. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's not worthless because at least you stopped your dog, but you're predicating your success based off of a tool sustainably. Okay. But here's the kicker. Okay, here's the golden ticket here. What that means is when you say leave it maybe the first 3 or 4 times in your dog's life and enforce it with a heavier correction, so you're actually holding your dog accountable for the very first time. Your timing is right. You don't have to work on physical strength to get it done, and the dog doesn't like it, right? So, but it's coming from you. Leave it, correction. Leave it, correction. Leave it, boom, he leaves it.
Okay.
So the goal is for the dog to understand that you ultimately have the ability to correct the dog, and if they make the right decision, the correction doesn't happen. And that's the goal of teaching the dog things. I can't do that. Does that make sense? So my point is you have to say something. So that way the leave it is sustainable. So when you say leave it, the dog's like, I'm good. You don't have to use the equipment. You don't need it on the dog. They just listen because they know the history of you walking down that road that sucked for you. Like the history of that isn't, so you don't even, so when you say leave it, the dog knows I'm going to leave it. You don't need the equipment. You don't need the correction. And if you condition a dog properly on any type of tool to help enforce things, you are the thing that the dog listens to. And they respect it. They listen to it because there's actual utility to your voice now. There's enforcement to your voice now, right? So let's say you're driving down the road and you're speeding big time and you see a cop. Everything slows down. Pumping the brakes, right? So you don't need the ticket to know that that's bad. You see what I'm saying? So you want to make make sure when you say Louie, leave it, he goes, I respect that. I'm good. That's what you don't have.
And I see that when my son comes to visit, I see how he commands Louis's attention and he can walk him and there are no problems.
Yeah. Well, it's their relationship, you know.
Yeah.
And listen, dogs are so smart. Like they know, you know, it even happens with me and my wife, like with my Mastiff. Like he knows, you know, he's like, I can get away with this. I can get away with that. Yeah. You know, my wife's got the kids, everything's going on.
Yeah.
And
right.
Whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, okay. So what about barking in the car? Can I start using that as soon as I condition him? Like in a week's time, let's say that every day I'm using this four level and doing exactly what you told me about, like the place, the come, the sit, the break.
Yeah. So
put it on him and put him in. Okay.
Yeah. So here's the cool thing about the remote collars. Your entire relationship then becomes balanced out. It becomes equal. Like when you say something, because you can hold the dog account, like you can communicate with the dog anywhere. The dog just, again, listens to you because they know like, oh, okay. Like you mean business. You know, it's like, somebody, let's say you have three people that you work with and your boss says, hey, if you guys are late next time, you're going to get fired. The two people take it seriously. The last person's like, no, they're not going to do it. Boom, they get fired. Boom, everyone else straightens out. Oh, shit, they're serious.
Right.
Like we could actually get in trouble now, right? Mm-hmm. New management, new boss in town. So when you say, like, you're in the, so again, this is like a 2 to 3 week process, but let's say you've conditioned the remote collar, you're holding him accountable, you mean it. Two things happen is A, the reason why he was reactive in the first place starts to change because he's like, oh, you know what you're doing. I don't feel so vulnerable. I don't feel so insecure. I don't feel like I need to protect you. Again, walking into a bar with your younger brother or sister and somebody comes up and starts stuff and they knock him out. You're like, oh shit, you got it. Cool.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing. I don't feel so the pressure anymore, right? So there's that. So a lot of times when you start saying, hey, quit the crap and sit down, the dog goes, holy crap. You mean I don't have to do this anymore? You're giving me the confidence that you can handle yourself in these situations?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. The other thing is, outside of that, is just understanding that your dog ultimately, you'll have a better relationship, but your dog will ultimately listen to you in these different environments. But let's say the barking in the car.
Yeah.
So you say leave it. Now leave it means something. So this is the same thing with recall. It'd be better to go over the recall because, so let's say you're out you know, in your yard. Louie, come.
Mm-hmm.
Nah. Louie, come. Mm-hmm. Nah, right? So you get your, you know, your e-collar conditioned, you got the remote collar, and you're bouncing between conditioning and corrective levels because you have to rewire, you have to rewire things now because your dog is so used to saying, one minute. Yeah, okay, hold on. Or...
Yeah,
no. So when you say Louie, come, right, when you say Louie, come on a four or five, you're getting the dog's attention, you're talking to him, and they say, nah, there's rabbit poop over here. Then you go to a 15, zoop, he comes zipping back. My bad.
Okay.
So now every single time you say something to the dog, like firing the first person who didn't take it seriously, they start to fall in line. They go, oh, shit, like you actually are going to, like, there's punishment involved now. Every single time that you've asked your dog to do something up until this point mm-hmm. has been able to be waved off
yeah.
without any consequences.
Right.
So that's what you're dealing with the most.
Yes.
So your roadmap and your homework is to, and I'm really glad that you're aware of this because a lot of people struggle and they have a hard time communicating. Like, you understand, I use the prong collar. I've seen it work. However, I don't have the physical strength to actually use it yeah. properly. So the enforcement and the pop and the correction, the timing is tough and the dog's big and strong. So once you yeah. start using, and this is the beauty, like, you know, we work with people who are handicapped and they can't even hold a leash, let alone correct the dog. Okay, so mm. now you're trying to train this dog in this crazy society, in this world that we live in, and kids are running up and dogs are off leash. And how do you communicate right. with a dog safely? And, you know, this is the dog, like, it's in those situations, it's not just the dog safety, but if the dog gets distracted or in a dog fight or runs off, the person's life is now in jeopardy. Like, the kid, the human, like, so the e-collar is a fantastic tool to be able to communicate for people who, you know, don't have it. Again, my 160-pound cinder block of a dog, my wife, 110-pound soaking wet, she uses the remote collar because if he wants to do something, even I would go for a ride with him because he's low to the ground. He's a solid brick muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to be able to communicate with him in a way that is actually responsible because of his size. If he were to actually wanted to do something, you know? So anyway, those are really important things to start off with. E-collar conditioning, then being able to move to correcting the dog if the dog, you know, doesn't listen, start holding the dog accountable seriously and effectively, as we spoke of. And mm-hmm. that will give you an opportunity to start changing everything with your dog and your relationship with your dog.
And you think that's really attainable, even though it's been going on like this for a while?
Yeah, I do. It's okay. just going to, it's going to take a little bit more work, but here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the way I look at it, and I've looked at it, and not only looked at it, but seen it so many times.
Okay.
Is your think about it this way. This is an easy way to look at it. You, your whole life, has said something to the dog, and the dog has been like, no, I don't care. So my opinion on it is you've never been able to hold the dog accountable when they blow you off. So your dog gets put into the waiting room of the daycare and wants to, you know, bite somebody, and you say no, and he's like, my whole relationship with you is optional. So right. is it obtainable? I would say yes, because every single time you've asked this dog to do something, he's been able to test you and win every single time. So again, yes. it's like the movie or the show that you watch with the pushover boss or the pushover husband or wife. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's that's what it is hey, I'm going to ask you to, I'm not going to. So your whole life, so now you're showing up to work and you go, no, I'm serious. That's how that works.
All.
So I think it's obtainable because I'll tell you this. I just posted a video of a dog named Ace, and you should check it out. It's on my Facebook, my Instagram, my YouTube. Have you seen it?
Okay. No.
You should. Mm-hmm. You should check it out because here's the thing. These two people, both, one's a doctor and I don't know what the other, but just they understand stuff, right? They're educated. They understand they can take direction is my point, right?
Yeah.
So they've worked with three trainers. Both of them have had a surgery apiece, MCL, PCLs, rotator cuff tears, knee surgery. I mean, this dog has put them through hell, right? They've had it's bad. Three professional trainers, and they said, and they came in and they said that you're our last hope. Like we're not at our breaking point, but we're close. So they're, you know, skeptical because everyone else said, yeah, we're pros, we do this. So they came in, and I'm not exaggerating. Like we filmed it. Like Within 10 minutes, Sherry, this dog was they couldn't walk their dog. And with 10 minutes, they were walking in circles around two other dogs. And so here's the kicker. It's they came in on a front clip harness, I believe, with a dog that was big, tall, strong, reactive, and confused. The moment I started correcting the dog for the thing that almost put the dog back into a shelter, the moment everything changed. Now, here's an important part to play devil's advocate in these scenarios is it took me 10 minutes. And I said in the video too, I said, I'm not doing anything that no dog, competent dog trainer should do. Like this isn't proprietary. Like this doesn't, it's not because I'm good. I literally didn't do anything trickery here. Like if I do some creative things and I think really outside of the box, I'll own it. And I'll go, okay, this was creative, but this was not, I corrected the dog twice with the prong collar and that was it. Now here's the thing is if you talk to people about these types of things, you'd say, well, yeah, but aren't you just shutting the dog down and just shutting the dog, suppressing the behavior? And there's a couple things on that. So when you correct a dog, especially a dog that is doing this behavior because they're afraid. So imagine your dog getting put down because he said, I felt like I had to protect you. I didn't want to bite the guy.
Exactly.
I didn't want to bite the guy. I'm not mean, but now I'm getting put down, right? So here's the thing is oftentimes dogs who do things like that are those types of dogs where they're like, I don't want to do this, but I feel like I have to.
Yeah.
So here's the beauty, and I've seen it and we've documented it hundreds of times in 4K. it's evidence-based training, right? But it's reality.
Right.
So the dog says, like Louis says, I got to bite this guy. And I just come down with this wham. No, you do not. And they're like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. What was that? You go, don't quit it. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at you and they go, oh, okay. Here's the thing. It's the same thing I did with Ace, this dog I'm speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
Is a lot of times, and including with Ace, is he was able to think. He was able, like a kid throwing a tantrum.
Yeah.
They're not even in the right mind. You go, hey. And they start to breathe. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not so bad, right? And so that's what a lot of times I see, and I've documented it, is they go, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know. I got to go. And bang, stop.
Yeah.
Breathe. Relax.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then there's the other side too, where I see a dog that actually hates people and is aggressive and wants to bite people. And I've worked with those dogs. The only thing responsibly that you can do is manage it. Like the dog is never going to like people. The dog is never going to like other dogs. The dog is always going to want to take a bite out of somebody. And your reality is we do have to suppress it. That's the only thing there is to do. We're not
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? We're not modifying. We're not trying to, stick a square in a round hole here. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So that's the thing that like really aggravates me when I see other professionals talk about, well, it's just suppression. I'm like, that's the only thing you can do with this dog that wants to kill other people. Like you're not changing this dog, right?
Exactly.
So anyway, I just wanted to point that out just because I know that a lot of dog owners such as yourself kind of find themselves in this weird way of, I mean, the internet's great. I mean, it's great. I mean, I think it's more great than it is bad. However, when you go on the internet and you start looking at these things, you will see never correct your dog for those reasons I just said. But the reality is people, a lot of people who, you know, again, like the, every single dog owner that's come in to work with me over the last decade has gone pretty much to the same ringer. They've worked with 2 to 5 trainers. They told them this.
Okay.
And
here
we are. It is interesting.
I'm not unusual. Yeah, I even had this woman come to my house. She was a trainer, counter conditioning. And she said, never put that prong collar on again.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my gosh. Louie would bark so much, he wouldn't even be in the same room with her. It was horrible. So
you get it. it's important to know, because here's the thing is like people like don't understand that all of dog training outside of competitive sports, which is like inches and positioning, all of dog training mm-hmm. outside of that is subjective. So you get somebody to come in and never put a prong. It's like, well, is that, and we see it in today's world too with humans, right? Is that mm-hmm. just, is that your ideology? Is that the way you think? Because right. the way that I typically, and I already said it to you with the e-collar, I'm like, look, this is the way I do it.
Right.
You don't have to do it this way. And the other thing is understand that I started off working with dogs as a profession to help dogs. If there were any other way to be helping, yeah. I mean, think about it, Sherry. My job, especially mm-hmm. nowadays, is, you know, content creation, helping dogs, but also putting it on camera and providing it mm-hmm. to people. If there yeah. were easier, better, more effective ways to train dogs, why wouldn't I, you know, why wouldn't I be doing other things, right? Like to make me look better and to help my clients faster. Right? Yeah. So that unfortunately does happen. There is politics in dog training, unfortunately. A lot of people are blind to it, which is sucks because then they go, you know, if you same thing with these guys is these the ACE client I just posted today. One of their trainers like you, same thing. I don't know what they said about equipment or whatever, but they said, guys, you can't walk your dog. So there's these people who adopted this similar situation to Sherry. Their daughter is in like the Peace Corps or in something like that, and they adopted the dog. So it's like, oh, well, we didn't really want this dog anyway, but
here
we are, right? So very similar situation, and that's what it ended up happening is they literally said, you can't walk your dog. And these guys are like, well... What do you mean we can't walk our dog? So anyway, so it took, you know, and they had emailed and things are going good for them. And it's also just not like, I think the important thing is too, that I try to clarify in my content is the dog isn't trained. So if somebody comes in and says, we've had three surgeries, we've worked with three dog trainers, we've been working on this for 4 years and we can't walk our dog. And within 10 minutes, I have this dog walking loose leash with the owners around three other dogs in a room. It's not... It's not that the dog is now trained. It's this is what your dog is. If we can do that in 10 minutes, you've been working on this for 4 years. Your dog is fully, and you are fully capable of doing this with that little bit of time. So anyway, it's like searching for gold, you know, and you don't know if it's there and you find a couple flakes the first 10 minutes. You're like, this is great. I'm not rich yet, but there's something here. Like this is
well, you've really given me hope because you can probably imagine you've heard probably a lot of stories like I've just been
every day
so discouraged and frustrated and then I thought about rehoming and I thought I can't rehome a dog that's a bite risk and you know and then that it creates a whole you know maybe someday if a perfect situation came up because I you know I would like more freedom it's a big responsibility you know.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm glad that he's fine at daycare because I do work part time. But
that's
anyway,
great.
You've given me so much hope.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Yeah.
Where do you live?
I live in Northern California.
Okay. Let me. I'm going to send you an email, and I'm going to give you a follow up.
Great.
And I'm going to give you. I'll try to look at some peeps in North. I'll actually post on my Instagram. Maybe I can find some. Some people that can help you out. But no, I think everything you're talking about is obtainable. One thing that I think would be beneficial is if you do a board and train program with somebody who does an effective pickup, what that means is you drop the dog off for somebody and they do the remote collar training for you. So you don't have to worry about doing it, right? They do it all. They do the training, they condition it. It's usually 3 to 4 weeks depending. And then you do a pickup, which would like what we do is we spend usually 2 hours with the owner going over everything, and then we do free follow ups for life with our board and train. Which means you can continue to come back to us if at any point you start to go off because we know that if your dog doesn't look the way that they looked when they left us, it's because you did something wrong, and it's going to be really easy for us to get you back on track. And we encourage people, we want people to continue to train because you are natural regression is going to happen. Your dog training with professionals for, you know, 3 weeks, when you take the leash back home, obviously, you know, things are going to regress. But coming back in. So here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you an email with all the things to start off with. I'm going to try to find a trainer for you. But I think you're doing all the right things. You're like, I know that I need to correct him when he doesn't listen. Mm-hmm. I know he's taking advantage of me. You just need somebody to teach you how to do these things. A lot of times, right. I have to go way down to the basics, way down to the foundation, and I have to explain why we need to correct, why you should use a prong collar, why you should use this, why, you know. So anyway,
I get all that, and I went through 6 weeks of training, and they did train me. I do know the basics in terms of, you know, place, come, sit, mm-hmm. break, all that. Now I just need to do that with the e-collar.
Does that training place that you used, do they use the remote collar?
They didn't use one. But they might. You know, I guess I could call them to see if, I don't know.
Yeah, and
they could be, you're thinking that might be a possibility.
Yeah, or just look on their website. And I would just say, and if they do, just explain to them, like, hey, I know what I need to do, but I'm not strong mm-hmm. enough to physically correct my dog, and it's becoming dangerous for everyone. And
okay. Yeah.
That's it. So I'm going to send you a follow-up email with some curriculum.
Excellent.
And I'll try to find you a trainer.
That would be wonderful.
I'll try to find you a trainer that could help you out.
That would be great, because it's nice to know that support's there afterward too, that mm-hmm. I can get some further support. It's wonderful. You are such a great teacher. As a retired teacher, you have a real gift. You really do. And I love how you inject some humor, you know, because mm-hmm. this can be very emotional. You know, I could have been in a puddle of tears, but you kept it light and hopeful. And thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate that. I just, you know, it never gets old, and I always love to hear, traditionally trained educators and teachers give me that comment, that compliment, because, yes. you know, I'm not traditionally educated in education. I just mm-hmm. love people. I love interacting with people. I love helping people. I just have a gift with dogs, and I've combined those two, and it's really nice to hear, because a lot of times I'm thinking, like, hopefully I'm doing this right. You know?
Oh my God. And it's a unique gift, because as you said, you've combined both. Yeah. And that's, you know, some people are just brilliant at one thing, but you have the entire package. So
well, thank you very much.
And I think it's incredible that you do these calls.
Yeah. Well, Sherry, the reason
that you give up the time to do it.
The reason why I do it is because I'm so frustrated with people not, like, you don't have the resources. So think about we started doing this new, like, I call it like reactive dog confessional, where we do a 1 day program mm-hmm. for very, as much as you paid for this call, you know, in person, very mm-hmm. minimal. And anyway, they don't, you know, if I, people just get led down the wrong path, and I'm trying to like grasp, is it, you know, I think a lot of it is just people are not, they don't have the skill sets and the experience. So they say, I'm a dog trainer, which means they typically will teach behaviors. They get puppies in, they get dogs with no problems. Mm-hmm. They put a harness mm-hmm. on a dog, they lure them around, you know,
right.
And then they get a dog that wants to rip their throat out. And they're like, keep your dog in the house for the rest of their life or euthanize them. And, you know, for me, I'm like, I get so excited when I see these dogs that want to hurt me, because I'm like, this is great. This is what I love to do, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, Sherry, I'm going to send you a follow-up email.
Okay. Yes, Tom, thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
I so wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. All right, I'll send you an email. You'll have my contact, and we'll keep in touch, and we'll get it figured out.
Sounds good. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.